Amen. Good to be back this evening that we might continue and conclude our worship service. We're always grateful to God when we are privileged to come together as His people, with His people, that we might worship Him as He directs us in His divine word. Certainly, it is good to see each of you here this evening. And we are glad to hear the good news about Brother Thomas Green. Many of you, and probably all of you now, realize that he had a medical episode and was carried to the hospital by ambulance. But he's doing well, and he's back home. And we are so grateful to God that he has blessed him to pull through that particular episode. We solicit your continued prayers on his behalf. So remember Brother Thomas Green, remember Lydia as she looks out for him, and remember Drexel as well. Thomas is such a fine fellow, and he has a special place in our hearts here at the Hart Street family. Please turn in your Bibles to the Ezekiel passage first, then we'll read the Matthew passage. I apologize to Brother Solomon if I gave him the wrong scripture. I thought was sometimes in my older age, I'm not saying old age, but I thought I gave him Matthew 26, but we invite you to turn to Matthew 26 rather than 27, verses 47 through 50. Accept my apologies, Brother Solomon.
No problem.
No problem. I appreciate that. Very good. Yeah, I'll be able to sleep better tonight, knowing that you're not holding that against me. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and read this passage first. This is following the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. His disciples were very sleepy. Jesus had taken with him those who were in his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Their eyes were heavy. He wanted them to watch with him. And Jesus said to them, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In verse 46, he said, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. He's referencing the dastardly deed perpetrated by Judas. In verse 47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Jesus, our Lord, had been betrayed with a kiss. A kiss is a sign of affection. It's a sign of friendship. It is a sign of love and a sign of loyalty, a sign of camaraderie. But this particular kiss was the exact opposite. This particular kiss was wicked. It was deceitful. It was perverted. Jesus, the matchless Son of God, Jesus, the one in whose mouth no guile was ever found, Jesus, the one who did no sin, Jesus, whose hands performed many miracles, Jesus, who had restored lost health to many, Jesus, through whose power some had been resurrected from the dead. Jesus, who because of his love and affection for us, died on the cruel cross of Calvary, was betrayed by a dirty and dastardly and wicked kiss. While we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would some die, peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus was willing to lay down his life, not just for you and for me and for the teeming multitudes, but he was willing to and did lay down his life for Judas, the one who betrayed him into the hands of his enemies. And Judas betrayed Christ with his mouth. Years ago, back in the 70s, Robert Ivory and the Harmonizing Seven used to sing a song, and it was called Put Your Heart Where Your Mouth Is. Anybody ever heard that song? Anybody in the audience remember that song? Put your heart where your mouth is. Serve the Lord. You ought to live so God can use you anywhere, anytime. Put your heart where your mouth is. We read about Judas. He betrayed the Lord. He went up and kissed him. He put his mouth on God. He had his mouth on Jesus, but not his heart. Put your heart where your mouth is. Serve the Lord. You ought to live so God can use you anywhere, anytime. I'd like to utilize the title of this song and allow it to serve as the title of our lesson this evening for your thoughtful consideration and contemplation. Simply put your heart where your mouth is. As we think about putting your heart where your mouth is, we want to emphasize that this is a serious call to cultivate and maintain a spirit of genuineness and authenticity. It is a call for God's children to be for real, to be particular
between the heart and the mouth is a measure of your hypocrisy. The extent to which you are not genuine, the difference between practice and profession, the difference between the walk and the talk, the difference between the life and the lips, the difference between belief and behavior, the difference between the ought and the is. You see, if our hearts are where our mouths are, it will be reflected in our attitudes, in our affections, in our articulations, and in our actions. All of those should be in sync and in balance, harmonious alignment. There is a pressing need for us to put our hearts where our mouths are. We don't want to be like the ones of whom Jesus spoke in Matthew 15:8. We don't want to